Impress your friends. Amaze your coworkers. Make your family proud. Here's what you need to know. I'm going to tell you what
you need to know. Need to Know brought to you by our friends at Corona, Corona Light, Corona Premier, and the Corona Hard Seltzer. 0 grams of carbs, zero sugars. If you've got that New Year's resolution to watch your waist, go with the Corona Hard Seltzer. The Corona Premier also lower carbs, like 2.5, 2.6 calories, just 90 of them with the Corona Premier. Make that resolution stick and still get a nice, great cerveza with the Corona Premier. And, of course, the Corona Hard Seltzers. Look for them wherever they sell Corona. Let's get things started with a little Chiefs news. Patrick Mahomes practicing today in a limited fashion. Lebo called it phase 3.5.
I like that.
I'll call it. Yeah, I like that because it's phase 3 or 4-ish. I think it's probably phase 3. Andy Reid alluded to something we'll hear in a second that made me kind of think it's phase three. If I had to put money on it being one or the other, that he's in phase three. But that is the biggest news, no doubt, today for Chiefs fans. It's the fact that Patrick Mahomes was doing limited reps in practice. Andy Reid talking to the media today, and he was asked how much Patrick Mahomes was able to do.
Yeah, so he looked good. He's just he's in the protocol, so there's only certain things he can do, and it's a limited basis. But today is a little bit limited practice, so this fit right into what he could do. But he took all the snaps, and he feels good. So I mean, we're just gonna follow this protocol as close as we possibly can.
All right, so I asked Reed. I said, all right, I don't know, maybe none of my business is the answer here. Literally, I said, maybe none of my business, which I was. It's always nice with Zoom. You got a little bit of a gallery. Did that one hit? Got a couple of chuckles there. But I said, maybe it's none of my business, but is it? I'm going to ask just in case, you know, we can know. Basically, will you tell us exactly what stage of the concussion protocol Mahomes is in now?
Yeah. Well, it's whatever day we're in here. So it's that they kind of base it off of that. He's done well up to this point, and they just progress you through the day. So today was, work, limited work and no contact, I think, was the schedule for today. So that's kind of what we're doing on Wednesday. So it fit in perfect with that.
Now, you know, we read the protocol yesterday. He said whatever day it is, well, we're 3 days removed, so is it one per day? Or could you have checked off day one on Sunday? That limited work, no contact sounded like day four.
Yeah. Yep.
So I'm not sure. 3.5.
Yeah. Did he tip his hand not thinking people would know that information?
No. I mean, I think they know. I think it's just – on this one, I don't, he just doesn't want Buffalo. He wants Buffalo to have to prepare for two quarterbacks. I think Buffalo's preparing for Patrick Mahomes. Because I think you prepare for Mahomes, and then you cross off half the
foolish
half of what you
prepare for Chad Henne at this point.
Yeah, and then you have what's left. No offense to Chad Henne, but Chad Henne knows. Different scenario preparing for him. So my guess is that kind of sounded like day four, because day three is like no more than 30 minutes of football related activities. So he could have taken snaps for 30 minutes, right? And some snaps and a couple of throws, right? Then he can participate in practice in a limited fashion, no contact at his position, what he does. So it's kind of in between 3 and 4. So Lebo's probably right. We'll call it 3.5 for right now. Stay tuned. We'll see what happens tomorrow. Tomorrow's a bigger practice. We'll see how he participates in that. Tyrann Mathieu talking was asked about his, how he goes about getting ready for each play, his pre-snap reads, and how they differ on running and passing downs.
I think, pre-snap just, I think it, allows you to, understand where you're supposed to be if you get a certain play. And I think for me, I just try to take that pre-snap, judgment, try to make that judgment pre-snap and, put my body in a position where I can make the play, or, one of my teammates can make the play. I think that's really the kind of the thought process.
Okay, a couple things. I think his pre-snap reads are great. I think that's why you see him flying around, because his film study is great. and he knows exactly when he sees, okay, I know what this is, and when he sees the formation and where it goes, and maybe he's got it narrowed down to a couple of things, and when they take their first step or two, he knows what's coming and where he needs to be, and he is flying to the football. That's the first thing, is just his preparation, I think, sets up his pre-snap read, which sets up his ability to play the game really fast and play a lot of positions on that defense. Number two, can you just ask the man to lean away from the microphone?
Yeah, Tyrann Mathieu and whoever was beforehand. Chad Henne had a little bit of that. But, yeah, dude, just back away a little bit.
But it's not his fault. Like, guys, they think they need to talk into the microphone because sometimes it's not loud. They don't know on that Zoom call how loud they are. Mm-hmm. The moderator would be okay to be like, Tyrann, can you just back up for the microphone? Just back up about 10 inches?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, someone should say that.
Okay, yeah. And he leans back, and there's – more usable sound.
But to backsell your point on the first part of that, he in the post game on Sunday, his description of how he says, you know, whenever I see this, I see the formation, I know what's coming, and as soon as this guy does this, I know what's going to happen. When I see Baker do this, I know, and I kind of baited him in. I mean, that's the not just his experience, but the preparation in addition to that. His ability to know what's going to happen almost instinctively is rare at that level in the NFL.
And you want to know that Tyrann Mathieu's respected? Listen here to Sean McDermott as he was asked, just the reverence he has clearly for the man. I was asked about the versatility of Mathieu.
Yeah, he's a great player. You know, watched his career unfold at LSU and the different stops, places he's been. Man, he brings a lot of energy and juice to their team and their defense in this case. He does a great job disguising, playing multiple positions. He seems extremely smart. I've never really been around him, quite honestly, but I know he's a big factor in Spags' defense out there and probably one of the top players in the league.
And knowing where he is pre-snap, any more important or any less important with him than any other defender out there?
Well, I think it is a factor, and you need to be aware of where he is. They do a great job disguising. I mean, I was around Spags in Philadelphia, and I think that's probably where one of the things he taught me was the disguise, the way we used to disguise with Dawkins back in Philadelphia and the safeties that played alongside of Brian. And so I know Spags is big with that.
And I think that's one of the things he does really well. And I think to do that well, you got to have versatile guys. Snead, corner and safety, right? Played both in college. Mathieu, play corner and safety. Juan Thornhill, a guy that people said could move to corner and play, and did play corner and safety at Virginia. He's got a lot of those hybrid guys, right, that can do either. And so they're not a fish out of water if you tell Legarius Sneed, okay, you're going to drop and play the safety spot. And I think that's the new thing on defensive backs is not like safeties and corners, it's coverage people. Can you cover? Can you play in space? You got to be able to do both, and they've done a nice job of acquiring a number of guys that can do both. It makes it easier to disguise that when guys have that kind of versatility.
And the guy that McDermott mentioned there, Brian Dawkins, he's just a Hall of Famer is all.
Yeah, that's all. That's all. All right, one more here from Chris Jones. I thought this was interesting. How about this? Mitch Morse, center for the Buffalo Bills. Jones was asked what it's like to go up against a former teammate and whether or not he stays in touch with him.
Unfortunately, I don't, man. It's weird because I forgot that he played the first time we played him. I seen him out there. I'm like, Mitch, you still look good, man. It's always competitive when you get to go against guys that you once played with. And it's all fun. You know, it's competition, you know, my team against his. And may the best guy wins.
Does that to say that, like, in his film study, he didn't realize it was Mitch Morse? And then he's out on the field like, oh, crap, that's Mitch Morse.
Oh, damn. I remember you. I didn't know that was you.
Wasn't it Ricky Henderson who mentioned, I played in the field with a guy who wore a helmet in the field.
Oh, you wear a batting helmet out in the field? He's talking to John Olerud when he got to the Mariners. He's like, oh, yeah, I wear a batting helmet out in the field. Oh, man, I played in Toronto with a guy who wore a batting helmet out in the field. Ricky, I know. It was me. Really great.
That's almost like I named him Forrest. Like me. I named him after his daddy. He got a daddy named Forrest, too. That's what I thought. They got a center named Mitch Morse, too.
Oh, man. Philip Rivers is calling it a quit. He's calling it a career. He's quitting after 17 years in the NFL, one of the 10 most, six or seven most prolific quarterbacks from stats, statistically speaking. The Lions have given Dan Campbell a six-year contract. 6 years. You really either think you suck or nobody wanted your job if you have to give the tight ends coach in New Orleans a six-year contract. Can I point that out, please? 6 years?
Yep.
6 years.
And people, even people like me who have looked up Dan Campbell on Wikipedia and go, oh, yeah, that's that guy, have to do it again to remember exactly where he was? That's how anonymous Dan Campbell is?
The Royals have signed Wade Davis to a minor league deal. Welcome back, Wade Davis. Hopefully there's still something left in the tank. We'll find out if there's anything in Bob Glauber's tank. He's our NFL insider, and he's next.
The program with Soren Petro.
Arrogance may not be a uniquely American trait, but I must say you do it better than anyone.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB. They are the greatest sports writers in history. Red Smith, Grantlin Rice, Damon Runyon. One day this man will have read them all. The program's NFL insider, Bob Glauber.
Yes, yes, yes. He's back by popular demand. It would be the great Bob Glauber with us here in the program. He's brought to you by our good friends at Worth Harley-Davidson North. If you're in the market for a motorcycle, no better place to go than I-29 in Tiffany Springs, just south of the airport, 9400 Northwest Prairie View Road. If you want to GPS it, if you're coming from miles around, people come from a long, long way to buy their bikes at Worth. Best selection of brand new and pre-owned Harleys is at Worth Harley-Davidson. Nobody does a better job on your trade than the guys at Worth. Go see them today. Worth Harley-Davidson North. Find them online at WorthHarleyDavidson.com. We welcome Bob Glauber to our T-Mobile guest line. Bob, how are you?
I'm good, Soren. How are you? I noticed that sarcasm with the back by popular demand, but I'll still stay on. Don't worry.
No sarcasm. I had somebody send me an email that said, I don't know why you have this guy on. Bob's better.
Well, that's fine. Thank you for that person.
Answered it. Answered it late last night, as a matter of fact.
Great.
So there you go. And I'll just say up front, I'm really sorry, Tim Grunhard. I'm really sorry. No, it clearly was not Timmy. It was not Timmy. I would never say who it was, but I was like, oh, okay, all right. So Bob's a favorite. So you're back, Bob. Congratulations! Literally
Thank
by
you.
Popular demand. All right, let's dig right in and get it out of the way. What do you make of the coaching hires so far, and not hires?
Well, I mean, it's we still got a couple left, and I want to see what happens there. The Philly Texans jobs are kind of complicated. There's a lot of stuff going on. The Philly job was obviously open late, which we talked about, by the way. Didn't we talk about that? We said, hey, you know what? When the Peterson stuff was getting sideways, I think we were mentioned. Like, there's always a surprise firing, and I wonder if this is going to be it, and that was it. So that's a little complicated. They're talking to everybody and anybody and everybody. And then in Houston, I mean, it's hard to know what to make of that thing. This Jack Easterby, who is came over from the Patriots, is really creating a lot of ill feelings down there. And Nick Caserio, another Patriots former personnel director, is now the general manager. So it's weird. So okay, I guess according to plan, except for the Dan Campbell hire, that was a little bit out of the box. Campbell has been a head coaching candidate before, off the radar kind of guy. He's had a lot of people vouch for him. I covered him when he was a Giants tight end. He was a backup tight end when Jeremy Shockey was, insane. Campbell was the yin to Shockey's yang, and he kind of grounded a guy like Shockey. So coaching wise, he's got a lot of plaudits, but I guess it's gone according to the script. I'd like to see Eric Bieniemy be a head coach somewhere. I don't say just yet that door is closed, because you do have those two openings where he has interviewed, and let's see what happens.
I'll say it's closed, not publicly, but I'll bet. I think realistically, I don't think any African American coach is going to take the Texans job. We already saw Todd Bowles be like, no, not interviewing there. Sorry. Yeah, I know what this is.
It's toxic. Yeah. It's really, really toxic. I think they have.
And that's what it is. It's going to be somebody from who, like, I think it's going to end up being a retread who feels like it's their last chance to get a head coaching gig.
Could be a, you know, I wonder if, I think Marvin Lewis did an interview down there. He doesn't seem to be on the radar, but it's just so sideways there, and you got the quarterback situation. It's so unknown. Now, I think it's salvageable. I really do. I'm trying to think of a similar instance where a quarterback in his prime became available for these kinds of reasons. And you know what I came up with? Nothing.
Yeah.
I can't come up with one. Do you have one?
No, I don't. Nothing like this has ever come about. You know, the only things like this, you have to go to other sports. This is more of an NBA thing where you've got a star player, where Magic Johnson runs off Paul Westfall, where, you know, it's that only the NBA can I find something along those lines. Michael Jordan ran off, who was it before Doug Collins? Doug Collins was this guy. He ran off. I can't remember who was coaching the team. But anyway, got him run out for Doug Collins. No, I can't. I can't
weird.
Think of it in
it's
the NFL.
It's really weird. And I do want to, before I forget, I want to ask you your opinion on whether the Jets should make a serious run at Deshaun Watson with a couple of first-round picks in each of the next two drafts. So I want to know what you think.
Yeah, hold that thought, because I want to stay with the coaches, and then we'll get to Deshaun Watson, because I got him on my list. But for, like, so if I'm Bieniemy, I don't think they're going to hire Bieniemy, so why would I go interview there? And I don't think Bieniemy's a good fit in Philadelphia, because they've done the read and the read tree. They need to go somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I actually think Josh McDaniels would probably be a good thing there, but I also think Josh McDaniels, you know, might be smart enough to be like, this is toxic. You know, Eitan Shander in Philadelphia told us that the owner is a meddling pain in the ass. Now, maybe he didn't used to be. Andy Reid never said that. Eitan told us, oh, yeah, Reid had had enough of that. That's not what Reid says, but that seems to be the vibe that everybody in Philadelphia thinks.
Yeah. Look, Jeff Lurie has, you know, he's been around for a long time now, all right? This has been a while. Remember, I think he was the one who fired Rich Kotite. And brought, was it Kotite after? No. Let's see.
Buddy Ryan or Kotite? I think Kotite was after Ryan, wasn't he?
I believe he was. And then Lurie bought the team, and then eventually brought in Andy Reid. So, you know, look, kudos to him for bringing in Reid, and that was a really off the radar kind of hire. That was like, who the hell is Andy Reid? And he turned out to be a Hall of Famer. So, Lurie has had these, you know, instances where he appears to be meddling, and I think it's Roseman, like by siding with Howie Roseman, the general manager, who is not, you know, he's not really a strictly personnel guy, but he's been in it. So that's just a little bit of a weird dynamic. But, you know, Lurie has, I think he's a decent owner. And I say that because, like, he's willing to spend the money. He's willing to listen to his people about, look, he was very aggressive in the trade up for Carson Wentz. But now, you know, the Wentz thing that went sideways. And they've got a lot to repair. So the two remaining coaching situations are dealing with quarterback dysfunction that can set that franchise, both of those franchises, back a number of years. And I would say the Eagles is probably less toxic than what's happening in Houston. That situation is really, really uncomfortable, and I think it can get bad for a long time. Now, let's see if Caserio can kind of pull a rabbit out of his hat, you know, with the coaching hire and somehow convince Deshaun Watson that there is a future there. But right now, it does not look good at all. And you're talking about J.J. Watt on the back end of his contract. He won't be there at some point in the near future. And this is really treacherous time right now in Houston.
I think the Texans would be they'd be so fortunate to end up with Marvin Lewis. You know, I'm a fan of Marvin Lewis's.
Yes.
I think he's an underrated head coach.
You know,
and he's dealt with a toxic, backwards, jackass franchise.
Yep. I got to tell you, Seren, the more I think about him, the better it is, because you need a guy who has been around. You need a settling influence. Now, Romeo Crennel has been that, but he's not, you know, he's not the answer moving forward. And, you know, he's been an interim before, and he's been a head coach a couple of times, and it didn't work out. But Marvin Lewis, man, and he never really had a quarterback like a Deshaun Watson. And a little bit of Carson Palmer, but that was, you know, Carson, Deshaun Watson is a big-time quarterback. So that's, you know, they could do a lot worse, let's put it that way.
And Marvin Lewis, I think, does a pretty good job with his staff. So I think he could get some good guys that all got promoted and then coach them into their position. I think he'd actually do a good job. I'd really rather see Marvin Lewis get a better situation than have to work down there. Will the NFL owners ever go NBA owners and blitz Daniel Snyder, blitz what's their name down there, the McNairs, down in Houston, the way the NBA took out Donald Sterling?
No, they did that with Jerry Richardson, all right? Now, Richardson was involved in employment, harassment, okay? They got him out.
So is Daniel Snyder.
But Snyder, there's enough gray area there with the lawsuits, but there are ongoing investigations, so it's not out of the question. And there's a power play going on behind the scenes with the owners and Daniel Snyder. The, you know, other minority owners do not want Daniel Snyder there. I don't think it's to that point yet, but it could get there. So, you know, there have been lawsuits, there have been settlements, and it's kind of murky. But they have investigations going on there. I don't see that happening unless there is some sort of thing that we don't know about that hasn't surfaced. You always got to say, well, it's possible. McNair, you know, they're not going to oust an owner for incompetence. We've seen incompetent NFL owners before, and they get to keep their teams. They're not going to push Cal McNair out the door. His dad, Bob, you know, Bob McNair was a famously hands-off owner, and he gave everything to his employees, and he let the general manager and the coach run things. Maybe a little bit to a fault, but, you know, that's okay. I think you're better off like that in the long run to be, you know, like a Clark Hunt light, okay? But there's certainly not the track record of the Hunt family. But when you leave your people to do what they have to do, you're better off. But Cal McNair, it's just been, he's been, you know, people are in his ear, and he's overwhelmed by it. It's too big for him right now. He may grow into it, but it's going to take a while, and he's got to square this thing away. If Caserio can get, you know, a reasonable head coach, what has to happen in Houston is they have to be able to keep Deshaun Watson. And to do that, they're going to have to make a credible head coaching hire in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, but if no credible coach will take the job, and they end up settling. Like, I actually think Marvin Lewis could actually talk to Deshaun Watson and say, hey, I'm going to get you the best offensive coordinator. We're going to you know, my problem, and since he was, I didn't have the firepower. I'm going to get you. We're going to keep firepower around you. It's an offensive league. I think Marvin Lewis could actually, I think he's the best hire they could make right now. But my fear is that, you know, it'll be like Bill Callahan. You know, like, because no one else will take it. So it'll be some, you go two or three steps down the ladder to some guy that they're like, we got to have somebody who knows what the hell they're doing. And the guy's like, nobody is ever going to give me an NFL head coaching job again. I have no choice but to give this a try.
Yeah. Or a Doug Marrone retread job, you know?
Yeah. Like, Doug Marrone.
Yeah,
You know where he is now, right?
Well, he's out. Did he go, did he take a job somewhere?
Yeah, he did. We'll get to that later, I guess. We'll talk about that.
I didn't say.
No, that's great. I love it. It's more classic Glauber.
College shop. Must be. Oh wait, I know he's in Alabama. That's right.
Yeah,
I got it.
Googled.
I didn't. You don't think Saban would let him go if the Texans came a calling for that head coaching job? Sure, he would.
They probably would. My hope is he does 1 year at Alabama as the O-line coach, and then Syracuse hires him back as their coach. Where he played ball, because I actually think
he's a Syracuse guy. Yep.
I think he is a good college football coach.
He is a good college coach, and he could have been. You know, he was a decent. That team was just stripped of everything. They had no quarterback, and there was nothing. You know, Tom Coughlin, it didn't work out. He was, you know, he made some moves that were counterproductive, drafting a quarterback. You know, drafting a running back, Leonard Fournette, instead of quarterback. It was a mess.
It was a mess, no doubt. All right, so on the subject of Deshaun Watson, you said, should the Jets do it?
Yes.
You know, number one, I always have, particularly with a quarterback, it's like there is a little bit of me that says from a Houston standpoint, well, we can go 4-12 without you. I mean, we went 4-12 with you. We can go 4-12 without you. And then I run it by your favorite, the numbers guys at Pro Football Focus, and Eric Eager says he was the second most valuable player in the NFL.
Wow. Okay.
So he said the Texans' defense has just got awful. But, you know, so do I think the Jets should do it? Yes, I think they should. I think two first-round picks. I would take Deshaun Watson over anybody not named. You know, if I could get with one pick Trevor Lawrence, I would do that rather than give up two picks and not take Trevor Lawrence. So after the number one overall pick or after Trevor Lawrence is off the board, yes, I'd give up any pick in the first round this year and your next first round pick for Deshaun Watson. Because I think
okay,
he immediately fixes your quarterback.
That's
position.
Not going to be enough. It's not going to be enough.
I don't know that.
First round picks. That's the case?
What if nobody else is going to give that?
Well, if nobody else is going to give that, and they do it, fine. You know, I'd say, here's my thing. Yes, look into it. Be aggressive with it. But don't go crazy because, you know, the Jets are 2-14. They can be a better team than that record-wise. Salah's a good coach. I think he's got a bright future. But you are going to be bereft of potentially three first-round picks. You're going to get a quarterback on a team that needs so many things, offensive line, tight end, wide receiver, defense.
Come on,
you know?
Bob. The Jets have picks because they were moving guys. They have some extra picks. And you have to be able to hit in the other rounds. If you're like, we've got to hoard all these first-round picks. And you can also spin other guys on your team. Right, you can't spin offense. What you got to do is build the offense around the guy. But you can spin anything that's not nailed down on the defensive side of the ball, and you can find good offensive linemen in middle rounds and put a good line around them. And you've already got a good tackle. You can find another tackle, you know, in there. But to get the quarterback is, and you've got cap room, so you can put a good team around him. What you have to do is go get the offensive players to go around him. But yes, I would do it if I'm the Jets and. Mm-hmm. Because finding the quarterback is everything, Bob. It's
okay,
everything, literally everything.
But if you are – now, you've got the advantage here. You've got a general manager who's got a six-year deal. He's in the second year. You've got a head coach who's in, a five-year deal, first year. Okay, everything is fresh. If you have a conviction on, say, Justin Fields or Zach Wilson or, you know, Mac from Alabama, Mac Jones, do you not think about that and you keep
No, you
capital?
Definitely think about it. And if you have that conviction, and I'll tell you what, I think Mac Jones might end up being the second quarterback taken.
Okay.
And I like Mac Jones. I like his accuracy. Now, I will agree, I've had lots of different personnel people tell me Alabama guys are tough to grade because everybody around him is winning their one-on-one battles. And there's no doubt Mac Jones was throwing to some open dudes. But I also saw the out patterns where it's like, wow, look at that great catch by Devontae Jones. And you're like, yeah, it was a great catch by him. And lots of guys in the NFL make that catch. Not every quarterback makes that throw and gets it on the outside shoulder where he can get the ball and get his feet down. Like, I think Mac Jones is a pretty damn accurate passer. And so, no, I have no problem. And especially if Mac Jones is going to be there at 10, you know, if you think, hey, we've got him slotted at 10 and the Jets are sitting at 2, I would actually try to get more picks and slide down to 4
okay,
or 5 or
that's
6.
Fine.
And get him.
Or the BYU guy, too, you could do that with. Fields, I think, will probably be gone. But
sold on the BYU kid. I like him.
Okay. All right.
And he's got swagger, and he'll take off running, and I like his athleticism. But I think, I don't know, maybe I just need to watch more videos
like
of him
better?
Or whatever.
Do you like Fields
no.
better?
No, I want no part of Fields. No
okay.
part.
So
no
a part. Typical Ohio State quarterback, you
yep.
don't want to do it. Okay.
Yep, the system makes them look good. I mean, they're the same thing talent-wise as Alabama, and then they have a great system, and no one from there's come out and peed a drop. You can say the same thing about Tua. Tua is really the only guy that's had a shot at it, but I think Tua actually showed some signs. But we'll see what happens. But yeah, I think there should be a line around the block, but I don't know that there's going to be. You know, for whatever reason, you know, like you know what would be scary is if the Rams go get him and then send Goff away for a fourth round pick, because Sean McVay will get the most out of him.
Yeah. What about San Francisco?
That would be scary too.
Enough capital. That would be scary, right?
Kyle Shanahan is a stud. I mean, the Dolphins are the spot because they've got all kinds of draft picks.
But the Jets have him too. I mean, the Jets have four first-round picks in the next 2 years.
Based and on what do the Dolphins have, five?
They might have five. I think they have Houston's.
They do. They have Houston's.
Like third overall or whatever. So, yeah. But do they want to trade? You know, you take Tua for Watson, a homegrown guy that you just re-signed. Man, it's tough.
I mean, if I'm Houston, I would like to get Tua back and picks. Because the problem with the reason why I think there may be no the price might not be so high is because with no draft picks and bad cap space, you can't. How are you going to make Deshaun Watson happy?
Well, you're not. But I mean, if you
and so if that's the case, and he says I'm not going to play, we've seen every 1-1 quarterback that has said I'm not going to play ends up getting traded. But they don't end up always getting traded for the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you don't think there'd be multiple suitors where the price would go high? I think people would be competing against each other. There's so much desperation for quarterback. It just seems like if Miami and the Jets get into a hissing match over this, the price is going to go way up. All you need is two teams to be bidding, and I think you'd probably get that with a talent, a 25-year-old stud quarterback who is already signed.
I'll give you a spot that would be interesting. What if the Cowboys got in?
That's interesting. That is interesting.
Said, wow. Well, then we'll either trade Dak or.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. I mean, they seem to be all in on Dak. But, yeah, that could change things. I mean, yeah. I don't think it will, but I think Dak is going to be their guy. And if he's not their guy, man. I think there'll be some credibility issues going on in Dallas.
I'll tell you, a team that should get in on him, even though they might have a guy, but I think most signs are pointing towards they don't, the Denver Broncos.
Hmm. Like you said, you can't say Drew Lock is going to, you're definitely building around Drew Lock. No.
No, I said they might have a guy. I didn't say they definitely do. That's why I mentioned
no,
that.
No, I think you're right. I think that he'd be fine there if John Elway wants to be aggressive. Sorry, George Patton. How do you pronounce it? Patton or Payton? Patton. It's got to be Patton. The new general manager. But that's going to be a waste call if they do something like that.
All right, let's move quick through a couple of these. Jared Goff, is he out in L.A.?
I would say if they have an alternative, yes. But if they don't, I think they'll stick with him. You know, they re-signed him, so he's under contract. McVay, for whatever reason, does like him. He's a really good quarterback when he has the play-action passing game going, but when it's not, he just can't do things when things break down. And that's the problem with Jared Goff. System quarterback, very good system quarterback, so if he's got an alternative, I think that it's not a lock that he stays.
It's not a lock that he stays. Okay. Is Matt Stafford moving on?
I'd be surprised if he moved on. He's got deep roots there, and Campbell is Campbell's an old-school kind of guy. So I would say, and Stafford is just such a tough son of a gun. Played hurt, had nothing to play for, but still played through it last year. So I'd be surprised if that. And I don't know what you can get for him, so I think he stays in Detroit.
All right, Jed's on me, so my last one. Should Eric Bieniemy take an offensive coordinator's job and associate head coach? I know it'll be a lateral move without that. And associate head coach where he can call plays.
Interesting.
It's what Marvin Lewis did. Remember, he went to Washington for 1 year.
Yeah, but what was he doing before that?
He won the Super Bowl single-handedly for the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah, but he'd already been a coordinator, calling his own plays.
Yeah, so, but I'm saying they still weren't giving him head coaching jobs. So then he went and became an associate head coach in Washington.
Yeah, but there was a difference there. He was definitely calling plays at Baltimore for a great defense.
So, yeah, my point though is saying. He left. He had been at a spot where he was successful, and he left. He clearly felt like he needed something else for the resume, and he went someplace else and got it.
Yeah, I think there's something to that. I think there's something to that. I don't think he would do it. I think it's too good there in Kansas City, but I think there's something to be said for thinking about that. I think he's loyal to Reed. Reed is loyal to him. Mahomes likes him, so I don't see that happening, but I understand where you're going with that, and I think it's something to think about. I just don't see it happening this year.
All right, our Final Four is brought to you by the University of Kansas Health System. If you have an urgent orthopedic or sports injury, the University of Kansas Health System has extended weekday hours to see you quickly. Request an appointment at kansashealthsystem.com/sportsmedicine. Bob, I will start you with this. Give me your prediction on the Chiefs and Bills.
Well, I think that, you know, it all depends on what happens with Patrick Mahomes, but I think the Chiefs have the clear advantage here playing at home. And I think Josh Allen has made incredible strides, and he is a big-time quarterback. Taking those steps, I do think Kansas City is the better team here. I don't know if it's going to be a blowout. Kansas City doesn't seem to be able to win blowouts anymore, but I do think they have the decided advantage here. I think they're going to Tampa.
Score?
34-17.
I like that. Okay, KC 34-17. Very good.
34 may be a little bit much, but I'll stick with it.
All right. Who's number one in college basketball right now?
It's got to be the Duke Blue Devils. No, it's got to be. I would say it's that team on the West Coast in Washington.
UCLA?
Gonzaga.
Okay, good job. I'm proud of you.
Is it?
I'm proud of you.
Yay!
Yes. Well done. Did you watch the inauguration?
I watched part of it. I was in and out. I had some work to do, so I watched part of it.
Okay. And finally, what's your Super Bowl pick right now? Who beats who?
Man, well, I picked Kansas City to win it at the beginning of the season, so I'll stick with that. But I think it'll be Kansas City over Green Bay. Do you need a score?
No, just KC okay. Over Green Bay, I'll take
it. Kansas City over Green Bay, but Aaron Rodgers is really good, man.
Yep, he sure is. There's another guy in that game will be pretty good too. I'm sure.
Yep. I hope he's in that game.
Yeah, I
do too. My favorite player to watch, man. Maybe my two favorite players to watch.
What? Patrick Mahomes and Bakhtiari
and Rodgers. Sure.
Oh, okay.
You know,
okay.
Love those guys.
Okay. All right. It's not.
What do you think? I'm Tom Brady? Come on. No.
I named a Packer offensive lineman, and you wouldn't go for it. All right, Bob, great stuff as always, buddy. We appreciate it. Keep up the great work on your book, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Grinding. Okay, man. Thanks, buddy.
Good. All right, buddy. Bob Glauber, the best NFL insider from New York Newsday. We will take a break, come back, give you the kicker.
The program with Soren Petro.
Tell you the truth, this guy's starting to get on my nerves.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We're almost done for the day, but there's just a few more things we'd like to share.
But there's still more.
Here's the kicker.
Here's the kicker of this whole thing.
On the program.
But first, a good sense into the hour answer. Who was the first president to have his inauguration televised? It was Independence's own Harry Truman in 1949.
Ooh, I like that. I like that. Just like I like the good sense I had today. Ordered it with the app. Easiest way to order. I had a dollar on my rewards card, so I took a buck off because that's how much I had used. In fact, I had enough to get my whole lunch, so go there today, goodsensesubs.com, the app, the easiest way. I'll leave you with this for the kicker. The NBA is going to put security out on the court after witnessing what they have not liked, opposing players disregarding the new league rules against unnecessary contact on game nights. They're going to put team security at midcourt to dissuade the violations, including hugging, handshakes. It is amazing. Like, when you see all the issues that have gone on, that guys are just like, whatever with the protocol. Like, here we go. We're good. Man, I've wondered, you know, we've seen it in the NFL. It continues to go on in the NFL. I think it's probably a highly unlikely way to contract the virus, but with so much on the line, and after you've been through so much, and after you had to go so late into the year, wouldn't the NBA be the ones that want to be sticklers for it?